fickle age, cheating all the rage. There is one bird with self-control, happy inside my cage. I know who I love best, comes down for all the rest. My love was given heart and soul, so it can stand the test. No one to talk with all by myself, no one to walk with, but I'm happy on a shelf. In this behaving, I'm saving my love for you. I know for certain the one I love. I'm through with flirting, it's just you I'm thinking of. In this behaving, I'm saving my love for you. Like Jack Horner in the corner, don't go nowhere. What do I care? Your kisses won't await and fall. Believe me, I don't stay out late, no care to go. I'm home about 8, just me and my radio. In this behaving, I'm saving my love for you. Your type of man is rare. I know you really care. That's why my conscience never sleeps when you're away somewhere. Was a lucky
oh my gosh. I'm having some computer problems, so there'll be some music until I get it straightened out.
No one to talk with all by myself. No one to walk with, but I'm happy on a shelf. In this behaving, I'm saving my life.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Oh boy. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome. It's almost 1910 UTC. It's a rather late start. This is DJ Marcus, and it is May 27th, 2022. You were listening to my friend, my late great friend Kevin Jolly singing some different ukulele songs as I was trying frantically to try and get this going. I've somehow messed up my Ubuntu to the point where I can no longer launch a terminal. thanks to that cosmic mix-up, I can't see COM. I cannot access a terminal to launch a lot of the programs that I use, but I was able to launch Mix and Firefox. So, with that amount of access to the computer, we're going to just do the show. I'll just have to do it blind. I'm sorry I can't see you out there in comm land. I do want to mention, because it is Friday, there are some important things you need to know. One, It's something. It's a Something Blue with Harry Larry Day, which is always fun. That's at 20 hours. At 0300 hours. So that's technically on Friday. It's technically Saturday, but it's tonight. Synth Battle Royale. It is an amazing, amazing time. It's super fun. If you're awake at 0300 UTC, it's worth tuning in for. So definitely check that out. And then, as always, every damn day, every goddamn day, if you ask the right people, is the Dubious Goals Committee at 1930 UTC. So definitely stick around, check that out. Monday is going to be, as a holiday in the United States, it's Memorial Day. So I'll be home, and so I should be able to do the show live. Drinking some water. It's one of the problems with drinking a lot of tea at home is I don't drink any water, and I realize that towards the end of the day, it's like, oh, I have not consumed any just plain old water all day. This is a bad thing. All right. Man, I'm frustrated about this computer. I'll just let out one other frustration. I went to see the new movie that's out, the new Tom Cruise movie, Top Gun 2 or Top Gun Maverick, I think it's called. And I rode my motorcycle down to the theater to see it. And I usually go to this theater close by, but I went to the theater across town where my buddy lives, and Travis. And so I went down there to where he lives, and their parking lot, the south part of the city, is very hilly. There's not a lot of standard flat land anywhere. Well, I went to park my motorcycle, and wouldn't you know it, I thought I was on level enough ground. I parked, and I got off the motorcycle, was taking all my gear off, all my safety equipment off. Dang motorcycle just fell right on top of me. And so we saved it, or I was able to save it, and then he saw me and came and helped me like get it stood up. And then we set it up. I positioned it a little bit differently. And then I'm putting all my stuff away, and we notice that the rear case is broken. And then it falls again because we're on a steep incline. It's probably, I don't know, how many degrees is that? From 90 degrees, probably 20 degrees pitch almost. So it's actually pretty steep, but I've parked on steep hills like that before and not had as much of a problem. The end result was, is I was facing the wrong way. My brain wasn't working. It was like 10 o'clock at night. Anyway, I dropped my motorcycle twice. I broke my turn signal and I had to drive home with my, luggage like bungee corded onto the motorcycle, and it almost fell off a few times. Okay. All right, I've got it all out of my system. Let's go ahead and start the news.
World news.
Toronto police fatally shoot man seen carrying rifle near elementary school. Officers responded to reports of a man in his late teens or early 20s carrying a firearm in Scarborough's Port Union area. Police in Toronto shot and killed a man after he was spotted carrying a rifle near the school. Officers responded to reports of a man being described as late teens or early 20s carrying a firearm in the Port Union area of the Canadian city around 1 p.m. Witnesses told local media they heard three gunshots and then saw police attempting to revive the man. The police chief, James Raymer, told reporters Thursday afternoon that the event was isolated and there was no further threat to public safety. Due to the proximity to a school, I certainly understand the trauma and how traumatic this event must have been for staff, students, and parents, given the recent events that happened in the U.S., he said. The scare comes as the U.S. reckons with its worst school shooting in a decade. We kind of gone over that. New reports out of Uvalde, just in case you didn't know, there were several parents that were there on the scene. The guy got there and was at the school for over an hour. And when the cops got there, parents were trying to get the cops to go in, but the cops just stood around outside. They wouldn't go inside. They were too scared. Anyway, I've got a lot of feelings about police, but the cops were too scared and they were too much sissies. They were just a bunch of wusses. They were afraid of this kid with a gun, And so they wouldn't go in there to rescue the other children, and they just waited for him to get shot. But they also were arresting parents that were trying to run into the school to try and go rescue their own children, their own damn kids. And on top of that, apparently, some of the DPS cops were overheard talking about how they were just going to go in there and get their own damn kids and then get the hell out of there. So, just all in all, Texas DPS and the entire all law enforcement in Texas is just on the shit list. In Burkina Faso, at least 50 people were killed in a jihadist attack on an eastern rural village. And I just realized something. I'm sorry. I've been editorializing a lot lately, and I need to not do that if I want to keep a neutral news show going. So, I'm sorry, I just had that kind of realization there. I'll try and be more neutral about news, because that's what we need. We don't need another strongly opinionated news show. Deadly attacks attributed to armed jihadists against civilians and the military have multiplied in recent weeks in Burkina Faso, the latest of which left some 50 civilians dead in the east. This attack, carried out on Wednesday against the commune of Majori, which has between 15 and 20,000 inhabitants, announced on Thursday, is the bloodiest since one perpetrated nearly a year ago in Solhan in the northeast, which killed 132 people. Residents of Majori, a locality under blockade by jihadists and who were trying to leave it, were targeted near a bridge by unidentified armed individuals, said Colonel Hubert Yomiogo, a governor of the eastern region, in the statement sent to AFP. The provisional death toll is around 50 people killed, he said. So, very troubling and sad there. And in nearby DRC, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, 17 decapitated bodies discovered, 9 others dead in Ituri. Soldiers patrolling the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo have discovered 17 decomposing bodies by a riverside, some of which were decapitated. The troops came across the corpses on Thursday by the Ituri River in the Irumu territory of Ituri province, according to local Red Cross representative David Baiza. Baiza added that some of the bodies had been decapitated, with some heads placed in boxes. So far, there are 17 heads, some found in a dugout canoe, and others in the bush, just beside the river. It's difficult to identify the victims because of the state of the bodies, but they must be civilians taken hostage who were killed by the ADF rebels, he said. Very gruesome discovery there, over there in the DRC. All right, well, let's talk about some more police killing people. Brazilian man allegedly gassed to death in police car boot. The death of a black man who was forced into a police car boot where a gas grenade was set off has sparked outrage in Brazil. Police stopped Genivaldo de Jesus Santos, age 38, in the street in northeastern city of Umbaúba, U-M-B-A-U-B-A, Sergipe State, on Wednesday. Video footage showed two officers holding down the boot the man was in as thick smoke billowed from the car. An autopsy report on Thursday confirmed Mr. Santos died of asphyxiation. Brazil's Federal Highway Police said a disciplinary proceeding has been opened to investigate the conduct. An investigation has also been opened by the federal police into the circumstances of his death. There are conflicting reports of the incident. Not really a big surprise. A police statement said that Mr. Santos has been arrested because he had actively resisted the police's approach, and that because of his aggressiveness, immobilization techniques and instruments of less offensive potential were used to restrain him. Mr. Santos's nephew, Wallison de Jesus, told local media he'd been at the scene and his uncle had been riding a motorcycle when federal highway police officers stopped him and asked him to lift his shirt. He said his uncle took prescription medication for schizophrenia and got nervous when the officers found the medication. He claimed that he had warned police about his uncle's condition and then the torture began. He said the officers pinned him to the ground and bundled him into the vehicle's boot. The video footage, widely circulated online, shows Mr. Santos's legs dangling from the car with the rest of his body inside as he kicks and screams. Two officers are seen pushing down on the boot door while a gas grenade appears to be released inside. They're going to kill the guy, a bystander can be heard saying, as Santos's legs stop moving. His nephew said the officers left for the police station and took him to the hospital when they realized he was unconscious. A police statement said Mr. Santos was pronounced dead at the hospital. Earlier this week, more than 20 people died in a police raid in Rio de Janeiro's slum. Police have since faced accusations of using excessive force against the deceased, which one human rights lawyer claimed amounted to torture. We'll just say it's pretty, pretty grim out there. I don't know about you, but if I see a policeman, I go the other direction. Police made the wrong decision by failing to storm a classroom in Robb Elementary as a gunman killed 19 children inside, the chief Texas safety official said. If I thought it would help, I would apologize, Stephen McCraw said during a heated press conference on Friday. He said officers delayed entering the room because they didn't believe it was still an active shooter situation, but pupils inside made multiple calls begging for police to come. Mr. McCraw confirmed there were a 40-minute gap from the unit's arrival to the moment they decided to enter the classroom. The senior officer on the scene decided to wait until the school janitor arrived with the keys because he thought that either no kids were at risk by then or no one was living anymore. Which is the kind of level-headedness you want in your police, I'm sure. So anyway, we're not going to dwell on it because it makes me crazy. Makes me mad. Let's talk about something else that's kind of an I-told-you-so. Helium shortage disrupts celebrations and even U.S. Weather Service. Now, for years, it's been warned that helium sources helium is exceptionally rare, and unless we actually get fusion off the ground, fusion reactors off the ground, there's not really an easy, reliable, or renewable source of helium. It's just kind of a byproduct whenever you're doing other resource extraction from under the earth. So, for years and years, it's been a warning, just like climate change has been a warning, but nobody really cares until it affects them. The photo to talk about this, I think Tobe would appreciate. Nebraska Cornhuskers fans released red balloons after a touchdown in 2018. The team announced that it had to suspend its traditional touchdown celebration of red balloons. Who knew? Just throwing helium into the air is a valuable resource has to stop. A global helium shortage has been affecting celebrations with balloons and even the NWS. Helium's a rare substance produced when uranium decays. Already difficult to mine, there are only a few sources in the world that produce the gas. Currently, the U.S. is one of the world's largest producers, along with Qatar and Algeria. However, due to supply chain disruptions, including production plants closures and the 2017 embargo on Qatar, the global supply of helium has been severely affected. In addition to the shortage affecting various instruments and machines that require the gas to function safely, various companies have been struck with negative balloon sales. In quarterly earnings calls on Thursday, Dollar Tree executives said they are once again experiencing a helium shortage, which could impact its sales. Currently, helium demand is greater than our supplies, so our stores are finding themselves temporarily out of helium from time to time as they wait for new deliveries. We know this can be tricky when getting ready for a party, and we're very sorry for the inconvenience. Just a fun little side note, helium is a popular gas to asphyxiate yourself with because it's one of the noble gases that you can just breathe and it doesn't cause any, it doesn't give you any weird reactions or anything. A lady in California used to sell what she called exit bags, which was a tank of helium and a mouthpiece kind of thing. And you would just strap this on and then go lay down and turn on the gas. But after that was popularized, they've gone ahead and started adding small amounts of oxygen to helium tanks. So if you try and do it now, you don't die. You just get severe, severe brain damage and become a vegetable or are so severely handicapped, you can no longer harm yourself. If you're going to do it right, apparently. And in Iran summons the Swiss envoy over U.S. oil seizure. Tehran has demanded the immediate release of the Pegas, an Iranian flag tanker being held in Greek waters. Iran's foreign ministry has reportedly summoned the envoy of Switzerland, which represents Washington's interests in Tehran, to protest against the American seizure of Iranian oil from a Russian-operated ship in Greek waters. The ministry also called for the immediate release of the ship and its cargo. The Islamic Republic expressed its deep concern over U.S. government's continued violation of international laws and international maritime conventions. The Swiss envoy told Iranian officials he'd convey the message to Washington. The developments came after the cargo ship was seized on Wednesday. The news agency quoted Iran's ports and maritime organization as saying the tanker had sought refuge along the Greek coast after experiencing technical problems and poor weather, adding the confiscation of its cargo was a clear example of piracy. Separately on Wednesday, the U.S. imposed sanctions on what it described as Russian-backed oil smuggling and money laundering network for Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. Surprise, surprise. And we're running. We got about 7 minutes. Sorry, the music was at the top of the show. So this guy.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Sorry, you got to be quiet because we already did this, okay? All right, thank you. Taiwanese people stuck with the name salmon after sushi promotion. We've talked about this before, but I got a kick out of the twist. Parliament debates law that bans people from changing their names more than 3 times after stunt leads to unforeseen consequences. That's right. Taiwanese parliamentarians have debated changing legal limits on name changes after some of the hundreds of people who legally altered their name to salmon in return for free sushi reportedly became stuck with it. In March 2021, restaurant chain Sushiro ran a promotion offering free all-you-can-eat sushi for a whole table to anyone with the Chinese character for salmon, Guiyu, in their name. In what was later dubbed Salmon Chaos, 331 people took part, paying a nominal administration fee to legally call themselves names including Salmon Dream and Dancing Salmon. At the time, the government was critical of the promotion, asking people to be rational and complaining that the stunt created pointless extra work for Taiwan's paperwork-heavy bureaucracy. Some participants built social media followings off the international media attention, while others ran small businesses, taking friends to the restaurant for a fee. Once the 2-day promotion ended, most returned to their normal names. More than 1 year on, some have hit a roadblock. The government only allows you to change your name 3 times. On Thursday, legislators in Taiwan's national parliament debated proposed amendments to the name ordinance. Members from both the government and opposition parties calling for changes to help those stuck as salmons, or to prevent another salmon chaos. After the Salmon Chaos incident, some people had already changed their name 3 times and now have no way to change them back, said New Power Party legislator Chi Si Chi, suggesting other measures including fee changes and cooling off periods. Other legislators called for it to be made more difficult. Our trust in civic rationality is too low, said legislator Kuan Bi Ling, opposing an increase to restrictions as an intrusion into people's daily lives. So, I just thought that was wild. It's like, oh, whoops, I only did it I changed my name too many times, and now, game over. Anyway, let's go ahead, we've got just a couple more minutes, so let's talk about other cool things, or actually, I guess, let's just talk about one last thing. Should the war in Ukraine spur a nuclear security rethink? With Russia's invasion of Ukraine, nuclear facilities have been caught up in the midst of conventional warfare for the first time in history. The nightmare scenario is one of the few of the industry's players had anticipated. In Chernobyl and Zaporizhia, Russian forces represent a lingering threat to the most basic rules of nuclear security. On the way to Chernobyl, along the Dnipro River, a 2-hour drive from Kyiv, the imprint left by Russia's occupation remains 2 months after an ordeal that lasted from February 24th to March 31st. Most bridges are destroyed, and our driver warns us to stay on the pavement as landmines lurk beyond. After the invasion, the exclusion zone around Chernobyl, a 30-kilometer radius near the border with Belarus, made global headlines. Chernobyl personnel had to abide the Russian soldiers, who seemed oblivious to the dangers inherent in a nuclear site. They had a very low level of knowledge. They didn't understand that the soil here is contaminated, that one mustn't touch it, and certainly not dig trenches in it. And yet, that's what they did, and it spurred an increased level of radioactivity at the site. Happily, management handled the situation well. Chernobyl shift chief Valentin Geiko, G-E-I-K-O, became a national hero after he was able to tell various media how he resisted the orders of Russian officers with no scientific knowledge and with ambitious intentions. Geiko's sense of humor and his determination helped the plant's personnel cope while they were held hostage for 20 days, until Russian soldiers finally allowed their colleagues in to relieve them of their duties. With Russia's invasion, Chernobyl had the world's nuclear experts all in a cold sweat. Deactivated sensors, troop movements on contaminated soil, and a plant disconnected from the network from March 9th to 14th had specialists fearing the worst. Oh, sorry, more water. Sergei, another plant employee, can still hardly believe it after seeing the barbarians turn up inside the exclusion zone. They pillaged everything, broke technical material and equipment, but happily they didn't damage the cooling system, which could have provoked a catastrophe. So we'll scroll down a little bit here. The head of the Ukraine's nuclear power plants has meanwhile forbidden the transport of nuclear material anywhere on Ukrainian territory for security reasons. Moving the fuel needed for the reactors to operate will just have to wait until the end of the war. The measure shouldn't hamper the functioning of Ukraine's... getting a bunch of emails from... I'm getting a lot of alerts, and they're all not for me. Somebody has used my email address again by mistake. We followed their recommendation to build new nuclear fuel storage units on Ukrainian soil that would allow our plants to operate for 2 years. If ever the war were to last more than 2 years, we'll see what we have to do then, Cotton explained. In Ukraine, the prospect for peace seems a distant one, but the long run is just the sort of timeline that the civil nuclear industry needs to guarantee optimal nuclear security. The short term, the threat of a battle. Anyway, we're going to run out of time. If you care about nuclear stuff, don't watch the new Top Gun. That's the big boogeyman. They have to go and drop bombs on a nuclear refinement facility. That's right. The U.S. military goes to drop large bombs just on a storage, a large collection of refined uranium. No worry.
7, 6.